Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yo, welcome to another episode of All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. This is a special episode and a special week for the show. Right now, Pat and I are going to give our Super Bowl preview with insights on the most important matchups and what it's like to play in the big game. But that's not all, folks. If you look in our feed, you will currently see two special episodes, bonus episodes, as we like to call them. One with Hall of Famer Jerome Bennis and two with All-Pro and current Super Bowl participant Lavonte David. So make sure you check those episodes out as well. As a reminder, as always, if you're rocking with us, let us know by leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Now, let's get to it. Instead of chopping it up, we're going to do it with a little Super Bowl edition, right? Me, Pat P, we love the NFL. We love the Super Bowl. We watched a lot of Super Bowls. So me personally, Pat P, what is the first Super Bowl you remember watching? What's the first one you remember watching?
Oh, man. My first Super Bowl I can remember watching is probably, I think it's the Ravens versus the Giants in 99.
2000. Oh, that actually happened in Tampa, too.
Yeah, that's the first Super Bowl I can vividly remember watching. Yeah.
Gotcha. I know for me, the first one I can remember watching was Washington against Denver. I can't remember what Super Bowl that was, but that's the first one I can remember watching. And one of the more memorable Super Bowls for me, something I would never forget, is Super Bowl... It was 1991 that happened in Tampa in the old Sombrero, as they used to call the stadium, the Giants and Buffalo. When Scott Norwood missed that field goal, I was jumping for joy because I was a New York Giants fan at the time. So that was one of the more memorable Super Bowls for me as a fan just watching. For you, next question. That was Super Bowl 25 to be exact. Pat P, I love to hear this one. I want to hear what you got to say. What's your go-to Super Bowl snack?
Go-to Super Bowl snack. Back then or like now?
Right now.
Man, you know, I love a nice queso dip. You know, mm-hmm. Some queso dip with some, you know, some ground beef in it. I think that's always like a go-to for me. Like pretty much any like finger food. You know what I mean? Cause like you said, it's a snack. So it's like right before the game gets started. So, you know, you're just getting your stomach just right for the meal, like the barbecue, mm-hmm. You know, the cakes, the sweets, the, you know, the margaritas, whatever the punch of the day may be. So, you know, eating some nice queso dip. I like that to start off my Super Bowl Sunday for sure.
Okay. I'll go with some chicken wings, you know, lemon pepper, okay. Just grilled wings. I love queso, but I don't need any beef in my queso.
You add some beef in there, man. I'm telling you, change your life, dog. I'm telling you, dog. Just a little bit. Don't overdo it. Just crumbles of it.
Okay.
So it's between each and every bite that you, when you get your, tortilla out of that thing and, put it in your mouth, dog. I'm telling you, bomb.
Last question for you. Super Bowl chopping it up. What is your dream halftime show or what's the best Super Bowl halftime show you've seen?
Wow. The best halftime show that I've seen in my dream halftime show. I'm going to go with my dream halftime show first. Man, I would love to see Rihanna and Beyonce tear up the stage.
Mm.
You know what I mean? At the same time, I already know Beyonce already did it, but I would like to see them do like a duo. I believe those two are, you know, their music can touch every genre, every age, any and every race. You know, everybody can vibe to them. So, and also they can shine bright for us African Americans. You know, that's one of the biggest moments, you know, in the world, Super Bowl halftime. You know, millions and millions of people watch that just for the entertainment. And who better when you want to be entertained and entertaining you than Beyonce and Rihanna? You know, Rihanna have so many bangers, and Beyonce, just what, how she's able to, you know, control the stage and interact with her fans. I think it's just unbelievable. But the best one that I've seen, damn, I probably say Prince one, man.
Yeah, Prince, yeah.
I probably say the Prince, because, you know, with
that
me.
That was the one in Minnesota too, right?
Yeah, with me, I never had an opportunity to watch. Because, you know, with me growing up, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan. So you never had an opportunity to see MJ perform. So for me to actually see, and the closest thing to me to MJ, or if not, you know, some people may say better, that had that same aura, that same persona about himself when he stepped on the stage. I thought that was the best one to me, because it's like, damn, this is really like everybody that's performed has been like icons, you know what I mean? But Prince is on another level.
And when Michael Jackson did perform halftime, I know you were too young to remember that. And that was out in Los Angeles, one of those LA Cali.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Maybe it was late 80s.
Yeah, that was in probably the mid 80s, if I'm not mistaken. And Prince performed Super Bowl with the Colts and the Bears in Miami.
That's the one it was. Whichever one it was, when I saw it, I was like, God. And like also seeing him perform the song, because only time you can see them perform, like people of that age, was like on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And to see how he was able to still make people cry in the stands. I was like, that dude got real power, man.
No question. Yeah. Michael Jackson was Super Bowl 27, 1993. That's what it was.
Oh, 93. Okay.
Yeah. 93. I don't remember that live, but I've seen like YouTube videos of that Michael Jackson performance in 93, the Cowboys and the Bills.
Yeah.
That's must. Hey, might have to check that one out.
Hey, but the greatest national anthem though, Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah. And the Super Bowl that I mentioned earlier, the Bills and the Giants, you know, what was going on in the entire world at that time.
That was the greatest national anthem I've ever heard. Hey, funny story about national anthem. Kevin Ross, the guy who's actually coaching in this game, my defensive back coach, he used to play that national anthem every fourth preseason game. He said, man, Pat, watch this. Watch this. I'm telling you, I've seen the national anthem kill a man before. I said, what you mean, coach? What you mean? He said, watch this. He put the thing on, put the Whitney Houston. He said, somebody remind me, what Whitney Houston did national anthem in the Super Bowl? And somebody tell him whatever, said, boom, boom, put it on YouTube. He'll start playing it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's doing her thing. He say, is your heart beating yet, son? Is your heart beating yet? Cause I seen them bright lights. I'm telling you, I seen him kill a man before. I'm sure he told that story, although we didn't have no preseason. I should have asked Levante that, but I'm almost positive Coach Ross
played that
national anthem or somebody in his defensive back room.
Hey, that national anthem, man, Whitney, man, you know, of course, she has probably the best voice ever.
Right.
And for her to sing that anthem, especially what was going on in the world at that time, that hit different.
It hit
a little different. For me, my dream halftime show would probably be including someone like Beyonce, someone who can handle the stage. Their stage presence is clearly known. And being able to give hits that everybody recognize. And then I think I would pair Beyonce up with someone like Chris Brown. Another individual.
Hey, that's Michael Jackson of our generation. That boy can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Cause you know, a lot of people, man, if you kind of born in the Super Bowl halftime, we can go, you know, get some snacks and stuff like that.
Right.
But you're not leaving if those individuals performing. And I think my most memorable halftime show was the one with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake.
Oh, the boop.
Hey, the war malfunction.
Hey, that was in Miami too, wasn't it?
No, I think that was in Jacksonville. No, that was in Houston. Houston. New England and Carolina.
Carolina, okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's what that was. That was in Houston, if I'm not mistaken. So,
hey, so we are, we both on the same page that Queen B got to be on the stage.
No question. That's a given. I think the consensus.
Right.
We're being a bit biased. I think that's
a given. Hey, man, my first time going to see Beyonce in concert, bro, I was so blown away. Anytime my wife was saying, like, we're going to Beyonce, I'm like, I'm coming with you.
Yeah.
Like, what she's able to do and what I saw her doing Coachella, I was like, damn. Like,
because
like,
you know, as for most men, you're not really going to see a female artist, you know, in a concert setting. You know what I'm saying?
She cold, bro.
Yeah.
She cold.
But she has broke that barrier, to say the least. No question.
No doubt about it.
When you look at this Super Bowl, transition to the upcoming Super Bowl this Sunday, one stat note I would like to provide for you, something that I think you would appreciate along with the rest of the Go Tiger Nation. Six LSU players are participating in this Super Bowl, most of any school. You got Leonard Fournette, friend of the show, Tyron Matthew, Devin White, D. Williams, mentor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. What does that say about Go Tigers?
Man, I'm just waiting on my goddamn opportunity to play in a freaking Super Bowl.
It's going to come.
But
just hell, stay, I know just it's
going to come. I got at least six more good ones in me. So it got to fall within those years. Or you never know what happened after football. You know, I might be able to put that GM hat on one day. Okay. You know, may have aspirations of doing that. You never know. Mm-hmm. But to talk about my Go Tigers, six players playing the Super Bowl 55, you know, just, I mean, we all know, like ever since, even before my time, LSU always had quality athletes. You know, they always put out guys that can be productive in the league. And, you know, it's just been, the guys that are in the league right now just continue to, you know, hold down the tradition, you know, and that just goes to show the guys that LSU brings in each and every year, you know, the quality of players that they bring in each and every year. And go on to have successful careers. So, you know, huge shout out to LSU for continuing putting out, you know, phenomenal athletes, and shout out to the athletes for obviously representing not only themselves, but representing the university that in the manner that they have. So I'm excited to see this game. I'm excited to see my boy T-Mac, Youngblood, Tyron Matthews go for, you know, his second championship, Super Bowl championship, and, you know, seeing him playing this game and all the things that we always talked about. You know, when we was teammates and seeing, you know, that those dreams be fulfilled on his behalf, you know, I'm just so happy for him because, you know, obviously he's been through so much and I know the grind that he puts in. I know how the off season go for him. So I'm excited for those guys to be playing in the Super Bowl 55. I'm definitely going to be glued to the TV with my, as a matter of fact, I'm going to wear my LSU 7 jersey Sunday.
Okay.
I'm going to bring out the Pac-Man 7
Sunday. Take a picture in it so we can see that. We got a pull up. You know, Tyron was our first guest here on All Things Covered. So we definitely rocking with him. No question. We definitely rocking with him. And outside of the LSU players that will participate in this game, I mean, the storyline in this ball game, Pat P, is all about the quarterbacks. The GOAT, greatest of all time, basically playing against the baby GOAT right now in Pat Mahomes. I mean, this matchup is going to be star-studded. Some people are saying this is the best Super Bowl quarterback matchup of all time based on the prestige that each player has. But, you know, defensively, let's start with the Chiefs, right? Defensively, what are some of the keys for success against Tom Brady?
They're going to have to, you know, create a lot of problems with the pass rush, I believe. We see, you know, obviously, you know, every Superman has their kryptonite. You know what I mean? I think you have to be able to do it on a consistent basis. You have to see the Super Bowls that Tom Brady lost, pass rush the front four, didn't have to send no exotic pressures, no exotic blitz. The front four was able to get him to get his eyes down, get him off his spot, move him off his feet, have him throw the ball off time. And that was what got to Tom Brady and those losses that he did have in his losses in the Super Bowl. So I think the front four is going to have to be very, very stout. You know, they have to get him off his mark, you know, make him. I would never use the word frustrated with the GOAT because there's nothing that seems to faze him. So, but they definitely going to have to rattle him on a consistent basis, you know, for 60 minutes. To be able to walk away with a dub.
And I think for me, the keys for Kansas City defensively, something that has kind of gone unknown. They've been bad in the red zone. Their defensive efficiency in the red zone has been bad, but it's kind of going unnoticed because their offense scores so many points. I think Tampa Bay will be successful in being able to generate convert first downs offensively, but you got to force them to settle for field goals. You know what I mean? Yeah. If Tom Brady is scoring touchdowns and getting into rhythm, It's going to be a nice competitive game. And defensively, the Chiefs, like I said, that has been an area of concern for them defensively, not playing stout football in the red zone. Transitioning to the Buccaneers, right? Keys for success against Money Pat Mahomes.
Man, you know, Buccaneers have been playing unbelievable complimentary football throughout the playoffs and also throughout the last 5 weeks of the season. And they're the hottest team right now. And honestly, I'm taking, you know, I don't know what the line is right now, but I'll take Buccaneers right now because they're the hottest team right now. They're playing home. it's just, you know, Levante said, it just seemed like everything's working in their favor right now. So I think what Tampa Bay defense was able to do over the last 2 weeks, well, throughout the whole entire playoffs, by play, get key stops when they needed to, start the football games hot, being able to have that nice defensive front four rotation or front three rotation, a secondary playing unbelievable defense, linebackers, you know, playing downhill and also dropping back in zone coverage. So, I mean, it's not much that honestly Tampa that needs to do different. You know, those guys, like I said, have been playing some unbelievable complimentary football, and those guys like a cast iron right now, a cast iron skillet. You drop a wagyu filet on that thing, be done in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So them boys are sizzling right now. So it's going to be an intriguing matchup. And the thing I think Tampa has the upper hand on, I think it's just hard to beat a team twice, but not along with that in the same facility, you know, twice,
yeah.
You know, in the way that in BA is always good on this. Obviously, if you lose to a team and they lost to New Orleans twice, but he was like, good teams don't lose twice, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
And good teams know how to rebound from the loss, you know, if they're playing the same team from the loss when they played them before. So that's why I knew, you know, I knew they'll beat New Orleans. I thought Green Bay would be a better. I thought they played great in that, but I thought it'd be a little bit more competitive. I thought Tampa Bay ran away with that game a little bit, although the score didn't show that. But those guys are hot, man. So it's going to be a fun game to watch for sure.
Yeah, I think based on what we saw the first matchup, you got to eliminate the splash plays. Remember, Tyreek Hill had over 200 yards receiving.
And the thing about it, he did. And my man, it was just a leverage thing. You know what I mean? I can't remember. I think it was Davis, if I'm not mistaken. David. It was just a leverage thing. You know, it was some of those, he was in good coverage. And some of them, it looked like they was in two man and the safety wasn't over the top. I couldn't tell you exactly what they was in, but a bunch of those plays looked like they was in, you know, man under, you know, so obviously can't completely fault, you know, a lot of those plays on him, but I can guarantee you this. That won't happen Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about leverage, you know, specifically speaking, you know, dissect what you mean when you say leverage, especially on a guy like Tyreek Hill.
It was like one, I know there was a man under or like a rover type defense, and he ran the seven cut, the one that he kind of like, I can't remember the exact play, but I know he was.
And that seven cut is a corner route, basically.
Right. Yeah. It's a corner route. And if you have to be outside, no matter what that jab does or what Tyreek gives me inside, he's going to a safety.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's going to the rover player. So whatever he gives me inside, I'm not biting on that. So
stay outside leverage.
Exactly. So just stay outside leverage and run the route for him because that's your assignment. And I think when Tyreek had to give him a little jab inside, and that kind of threw him off and just gave him just enough space to be able to give Pat the ability to put the ball in a tight spot. So I think, and he's been playing great this whole playoff. So I know his confidence level is through the roof right now. I know he's ready to ball and also ready to redeem himself. So, like I said, I think Tampa's going to come out on top of this game, and it's going to be a fun matchup to play. I think Tampa defense is going to be much stouter than they have ever been. I know Bowles is going to have those boys dialed in. I know Coach Rapone and Kevin Ross are going to have his secondary dialed in as well. And I know BA is going to have the whole team ready to roll. So I just wish I was in that locker room hearing that speech, or, you know what I mean, just hearing my guy BA getting the troops ready to roll, man. I love that guy. He's definitely my favorite NFL coach I've had so far.
Ah, no question. Well respected. And he understands that he knows how to get the best from his players. And,
right.
This is what you work hard for. You know what I mean? This is why you do all the extra sprints. You lift all the weights. You do all the calisthenics, things like that for a moment like this. And you don't want to let this moment slip through your fingers. You know what I mean?
Right.
So this is why the Super Bowl is probably the most watched event. Because you know you're going to see good on good. You're going to see quality production from both sides. And the best team will win. So we will find out in the next few days who the best team will be. World champion of the world, Craig.
Yes, sir.
Champion of the world, Craig.
Yo, Mac, man. So I know you had the opportunity to play in three Super Bowls. Three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you can give a little bit of insight on, you know, how to prepare or how to eat? What was your regimen? Give us a little bit of insight on how you prepared for the Super Bowl, your three Super Bowls in your career.
Oh, man. I think each one was different for us because my rookie year, you know, we needed to win the last four games just to get into the playoffs. So we were already in playoff mode, you know, before getting to the playoffs. And by the time we got to the Super Bowl, I mean, we were extremely confident, you know, not cocky or arrogant, but super confident in our ability to win. And that was my rookie year. So it was like, wow, I'm playing the game. And the moment didn't really hit me until I actually played in the game. When I heard Aretha Franklin sing that national anthem, it hit differently. I'm like, yo, I'm playing the biggest game of my life, something I always dreamed of playing in. So just the lead up to that week, you know, just the preparation of tickets, requests, and things like that. That right. was stressful for me because I was a young player. You know what I'm saying?
Detroit, right?
Yeah, that was in Detroit. So the second one was a little different. You know what I mean? Because the second one I was starting, you know, I had more attention. You know, I had more ticket requests. I had more obligations before the game even played that I didn't want to allow. I didn't want that to be a distraction for me. So I was just more so just trying to focus and dial in. I told my mom, like, listen, this is what I'm going to do with the tickets. That's it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And everybody else, you know, I was able to have a lot of family from South Florida come up and support me. But I had like a watch party, like in our hotel or something like that, if I remember correctly. So, you know, I just didn't want the outside part to be more of a distraction. I think that's the benefit these current players have right now, because it's not a normal Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They only allow around 20 to 20,000, 25,000 fans in the stadium. Those are mostly all first responders. You know, you don't have the normal right. requests for family and friends like you would normally do in a Super Bowl. Not to mention, Kansas City won't travel to Tampa until Saturday. You know what I mean? For us, we will always be there the entire week. It was almost like an extended bowl.
Right.
You know what I mean?
New
accommodations. You got to get used to a new facility to practice at, work out at, things like that. So it's a little different. Tampa's staying at home. They're doing everything they've done every year. I mean, so far this year, you know, their facilities. And the same can be said for Kansas City, just a normal road game for Kansas City because right. they're not traveling until Saturday. And I think the biggest advice I could say, Pat, and when you get ready to play, when you will play in your first Super Bowl, don't overthink it. I think that's a trap that a lot of people fall in. Could be players or could be coaches. They overthink right. the Super Bowl. Because, you know, you like, man, because like how you said, you can't wait for the moment that you play in your first Super Bowl. And when you get to that level, you're like, man, I'm finally here. And then when you overthink things, you put more pressure on yourself. You know, you start thinking about what if this happened or what if that happened. So for us, man, we didn't overthink it. I remember BC, Bill Carr told us, man, just keep doing what you guys been doing up to this point. Don't change anything. You know what I mean? Right. So if you were going out every Friday in the playoffs, we were winning. You better go out. Yeah, you go out every Friday in the Super Bowl, whatever it is. You just go out and be smart. You know what I mean? So don't change everything. Just be relaxed. That's the best way you can be relaxed. And when you talk about the biggest adjustment in the Super Bowl is the long halftime period. You know, you got the halftime show usually, you know, in the locker room.
About extra 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's an extra 20 minutes. You know what I mean? So you don't
get a little cold. Oranges.
Yeah, you get warmed up all over.
Heavy.
Yeah. So you gotta recalibrate yourself, to say the least. But it's a great experience. I can't wait for you to get a chance to get to that level, man. Cause listen, I'm gonna be right there with you.
I'm gonna be right there with you.
You get to that level, man. That's it. That's all you need. That's it. Everything else is done.
No doubt about it.
Everything
else. How smoother was the second trip versus the first trip?
Man, it was that second trip. I kind of knew what to expect, you know, how the week would go. I was older. I was in year four, so I was more accustomed to being a professional. And I was more of a vet then, you know what I mean? So for me, it was just like, hey, we've been here before. We know what to expect. Let's use our experience to our advantage and let's have fun with it. You know what I mean? And for us, man, we had too much fun because we didn't party a lot the week of, but we enjoyed ourselves. And, you know, I tell this story all the time. You know, the night before the Super Bowl, we stayed up all night playing cards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dog tired. You know, I didn't get in my room until 8 a.m., 8:30 a.m., something like that. Was out. We's not outside the hotel, but in our hotel playing
hoorah
the entire night.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
Oh, man.
And I heard, it was a few people that told me that bet on the game because we were like 7-point favorites and we didn't cover. Uh-huh. And when they heard that story, man, they jumped on me so bad. It was like, you guys ain't covered.
You ain't get no dang old rest, man.
We had no rest. We have no rest. I wouldn't advise that, but yes, be relaxed as much as possible, but please get some rest. Even though it's a 6:30 kickoff, get some rest.
All right. So what did you talk about? Obviously, you know, the game being a late game. What is it going to be? 6:20?
6:20, 6:15, something like
6:20.
That.
6:20. So do you eat differently?
Well, heck, when I got in the room during Tampa, I only laid down for about 45 minutes, took a shower, and then went and ate breakfast. I love breakfast. I got to go eat breakfast. I got to get nutrition in me early in the morning. So I eat breakfast and then went back, and then I couldn't sleep because I'm geeked. You know what I mean? I'm excited.
Right.
So I'm tired, but you know that feeling when you tired, but you can't go to sleep?
Yeah.
That ain't right. A good feeling when you got a ball game to be played.
No, man, that ain't, man. Hey, them legs go talking to you, boy.
Oh. And then when you get in the locker room, because I used to be on the early bus, right? You get in the locker room, and then that's when the sleep comes.
Yeah, you're in there too long.
Now it's too late. Now you got to get ready. Yeah.
Hey, the key thing to that, Matt, you go take your hot shower, man.
And that's
a hot, cold shower.
Do you drink Red Bulls, anything like that?
No.
See, I'm not a Red Bull guy.
Yeah, okay, have me a cup of coffee.
I do the coffee.
Go get me a workout in. Get in the locker room, take my clothes off, go hit the field about 30, 45 minutes. Come back. I got to take a shower before I put my pads on. Boom. Put my pads on. Go do the normal team thing. Got to come back in for 18 minutes, I think it is. Say our prayers and now it's time to boot it up, baby.
No question. No question. Now it's time for final score prediction, right? We already know what side you're leaning to. We're going down to the score, Pat P. I need you to be as precise as possible. Jeez. Final score, Super Bowl 55. What is it?
I'm going to go 37-31.
37-31. Okay. So I had an initial final score that I was thinking about. But I'm going to change my final score because it's dealing with the gambling side. And for you guys that haven't listened to our Levante David interview, please go in our feed and listen to it. But I'm going to give you a sneak peek about that interview. Levante David is 80-1 to win MVP. And I said, Pat, what did I say to Levante? I was going to do.
Hey, you're going to put $100 on it. And you're going to
put $100.
You said when he wins, you get three nights. Yeah, you said three nights in Miami, dinner on him. That's what you said.
You said at least three dinners. Dang, I did? I just asked you to, I forgot about that. Already. I said three. The freak up though.
That's what I said. That's only a dinner and a half in Miami, cat.
But hopefully he be celebrating. So I'm gonna give my prediction based off that, right? So 26-21 Tampa, and my MVP prediction is Levante David, 80-1 odds. I like them odds. I'm gonna throw a cool 100 on it, see if he can bring me back 8 bands. What's your MVP prediction?
Who the other odds? Give me some numbers.
Oh, I know he was down deep on the list because, you know, the defenders usually don't win it. Of course, the favorites you have is, I'm gonna go.
I got it right here.
Okay, the MVP, Pat Mahomes is -120. Tom Brady is +200. Tyreek Hill, +1100. Kelsey, +1100. Leonard Fournette, +3000.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, +3000. Chris Godwin, +3000.
It got to be on the winning team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with, why not, man? Tom Brady gonna win it.
That's easy. There's nothing wrong with Tom Brady.
He go out there and play like he played the first 3.5 quarters in the Green Bay game.
They'll be all right.
Gonna win it. Yeah, he gonna win it for sure.
No question. Now, hey, there's a great week. I'm here in Tampa. Pat's on dry land finally. We don't know for how long, but we getting geared up for this Super Bowl matchup. You guys heard what Pat P's favorite snack is. If you guys want to let us know what your favorite snack is, you know how to do it. Hit us up on social media. Give us your take about your favorite snacks, your most memorable Super Bowl, your most watched Super Bowl, the most memorable halftime show. We gave you guys some quality insight as well. Also, when it comes to the gambling side, like I said, we got some big time Super Bowl odds, MVP odds. We gave some insight on as well. That's what we do here. All things covered. We just don't cover one thing. We cover all things. So until next time, make sure you have a perfect seat for this upcoming Super Bowl. Next week, we'll be back with another outstanding episode. From yours truly to Pat P, peace out.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.